from there. And I know Pentecost Sunday is still a little bit off, but I just had felt, I was praying and kind of just telling the Lord, I want to see more. I want to see more take place in this world. I want to see more take place in this church. And I do give God glory for what He is doing and what He has done. I don't look around in discouragement at all. I thank God for His goodness, what He's doing here at this church. But I do try to share from what we would understand. I know I've said this many times, but you know, we as a church, we do have an identity. Who we are as a church, we are a full gospel church. You know that, and if you read through the bylaws, you know that. And if somebody's been confused and they come here and say, "I thought you were non-denominational," I said, "Well, no, we're a full gospel church." And a non-denominational has kind of transitioned since the 70s a little bit. Nowadays, people like to use that phrase just because they don't want to associate with anything. Well, that's not the case with us, amen. We believe in Pentecost, and I'll be honest with you, I would not be here. None of us would really be here if it wasn't for Pentecost, because we wouldn't have this message. But individually, I just know how beneficial it has been for my own life to be raised up in a Pentecostal background. And just feel like to charge us a little bit here this evening. And I've kind of may have shared some of these things with churches. I kind of was going through some old notes, trying to keep some of that organized. But the last time I spoke on this subject directly was like in 2015 or something like that. I hadn't been here very long at all. And so I want to kind of touch on it once again. We will be coming to you from Acts chapter 2. And I think we're going to start reading there in verse number 12, if you would. Acts 2 and verse 12, if you'll look there with me. Acts 2 and verse 12. And it says, and I'll give you a second to get there actually, but Acts 2 and 12, I don't want to rush ahead of you there. But nevertheless, when you get there, we'll give you a moment. But once again, this is the title of this is going to be A Defense of Pentecostal Expression. Amen. We do, as Pentecostals, we're known. You ever heard of the term holy roller? Amen. Where do you think that came from? Well, at one time it was kind of they did that to demean us, because we would roll on the floors and shout and rejoice. So we're going to talk about that. I mean, once again, if you're not familiar with Pentecostal history, you need to read about it. Amen. I encourage you to revisit revisit our history. If I'm not mistaken, I would say that this church probably has more ties to the PH movement originally, the Pentecostal Holiness Movement, which many of you would know what that is. But some of you have a Church of God background, and some of you might have an Assemblies of God background, or some of you, like myself, I came up in what they call just the independent movement, but nevertheless, we still have roots tied to the PH Assemblies and the Church of God. But anyhow, Acts 2 and 12, and it says this, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" I would say to you as we're reading, the world needs to ask that question again. What meaneth this? Verse 13, "Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So I want you to notice that. We've seen this before. We've preached on this before. But I would have you notice in verse 13, "Others mocking said." Pentecost always produces two effects, all right? Or three, excuse me. Let me correct that. Three. You have those that see, experience, and believe. You have those that are just amazed by what they see, and they ask questions, what meaneth this? It's all right for somebody to ask questions when they see something they do not understand. But thirdly, you have those that mock and reject, much like we see here. It says, "Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." Pentecost has always been mocked. Abraham, we know that he had two children, one Ishmael and one Isaac, and Ishmael will always mock Isaac. We see through all throughout the Bible, at times in the life of Jesus, they mocked him. On the day of Pentecost, they mocked the disciples as they were being moved on by the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, brothers, right now, there are hecklers of the holy. I do know that. They do exist. But nevertheless, God has given us a pattern. He's given us an identity. He has let us know who we are to be, what we are to believe in. And I'm glad to know that the original apostles, when we talk about the apostles' doctrine, they were Pentecostal men. They spoke in other tongues. Even if you didn't know this, I'm sure you do, but you have cessationists and you have continuous. Cessationists believed all of this has ceased. Continuationists like ourselves, we believe this has continued. It is for you and I. It is for our children. It is for our grandchildren. It's something that we should preach. It's something that we should teach. And we believe that it is a part. It is a crisis. It's a fundamental doctrine, something that will take place in your life. And we just want to preach about that here this evening. And I do need God's help as I deliver this. Stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God to have His way in this service. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as I preach about this here this evening, I need your help, Holy Ghost, to renew our hearts in this subject. God, we know the enemy is a liar. He is a discourager. He wants us, God, to be usurped underneath this doctrine. He don't want us to believe it, Lord Father. He don't want us to experience it. He wants it to stop with one generation and not progress to another. But God, I would tonight in this service that we here at Abundant Life Tabernacle once again would stand up, Lord, and we would defend such a doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Lord, there needs to be a call back to classical Pentecostalism. God, that we believe the message. God, that we stand on this truth. God, let the world ask, what meaneth this? And let us have an opportunity once again to share this profound truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. I do understand tonight that I would put this in a category of a mature Pentecostal subject. I would understand if you do not have a Pentecostal background, some of this would seem maybe a little different to you. But as I look around tonight, it seems like most of us probably have a good understanding of what it's mentioned in the Bible about the subject of the Pentecostal movement. I'm glad to know that I was born and raised underneath such a doctrine. I understand it can be a challenge maybe for those who were not raised in it. And I do understand that. I do believe there's grace and mercy to help them to understand and to embrace such a doctrine as this. But also there's been others like myself. You can be raised in it, maybe see even some misdemonstration at times and not understand maybe all what that goes on or why it takes place. And I have been around that enough in my ministry as well, where at times you see people that should be demonstrating it, or maybe somebody says they're full of the Holy Ghost, but they don't live in such a way. But nevertheless, even if you have seen people that have lived in hypocrisy, and even though if you have seen people maybe enthusiastic and maybe did not demonstrate these things the best, it never negates the great truth that the Pentecostal subject and message is still for us today. We should still preach it. We should still teach it. I am a firm believer that if you come to this church and if you're going to become a member of this church, if you don't believe this, then you can't even become a voting member of this church. We want the leadership of this church always to be Pentecostal in leadership. We want the message of this church always to be Pentecostal in message and in orthodoxy, our doctrine, and in orthopraxy, our practice. We teach it, we preach it, we believe in shouting, we do believe in speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We believe in the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We believe in prophecy. We believe in tongues and interpretation. We believe of a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. We believe in miracles. We believe in all this. We believe in the discerning of spirits, and we also believe in diverse kinds of tongues. We believe in all of it. It is a part of the Pentecostal message. We believe that one should get saved, born again. Then from there, they should seek to live a good and holy life. And we believe in cleaning up. And we believe in being baptized in the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. We still believe that. Now, that doctrine has been underneath attack like you would not believe in the world in which we live. They would love, and there's still movements to this day that have kind of morphed out of nowhere, and they're doing their best to try to do away with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. But the Bible is emphatic about such an experience. It says that it would happen. That is going to be the proof that you have been baptized baptized in the Holy Ghost. So somebody has asked me before, Brother Derek, do you believe in shouting and speaking in tongues? And even at times occasionally, have you ever ran a church out? And I would say, yes, I have. I have been moved on by the Holy Ghost at times. I have shouted and I have experienced what it is to be touched by the divine. I've been in some loud church services, amen, where there has been genuine demonstration of those that have been touched and moved on by the divine. To be honest with you, I don't know of anything else that would be so effective. I've watched it take place in this church, and I've watched some of you go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've watched some of you get close to being filled with the Holy Ghost. I've watched some of you potentially be refilled in the Holy Ghost. I have witnessed it. I have experienced it. We have shouted. We have rejoiced. Thank God for the Pentecostal message. But there is also, we must be careful here, because when somebody at times does not understand the subject, or maybe they have not experienced such a thing, there's some that would have a negative thought that would say that it's not proper to do those things in the house of God. And I say to this day, and I believe this with all of my heart, this is the house of God. I believe that. But guess what? This is not the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. One day, if you didn't know this, I'm just going to fill you in. Abundant Life Tabernacle will become ashes when God renovates this world. He's not taking the structure up to the New Jerusalem and coming back down with it. Just letting you know that. In reality, this is carpet. These are chandeliers, brick and mortar. And just like any other building, even though it's been consecrated and we should honor it and be respectful, but in reality, this building is a building. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He resides within you. Matter of fact, the Bible says we come together and we are fit jointly together. We are building blocks together, coming in. And as we are individually filled and moved on by the Spirit of God, we come together and we make up an effective body of Christ. Anytime you read about Pentecost, hear me, a body of Christ is described there. You can't use the gifts of the Spirit all by yourself. It'd just be a little weird if your tongue interpretation is straight to yourself. But with all the gifts of the Spirit, it's kind of insinuating that there are others that are involved. Prophecies to others and a word of wisdom to help a brother or a sister. That's not just for a pastor or a deacon, but that is for all of us to be used in the power of Pentecost. Every facility that we worship in one day will cease to exist. I like what Dr. Michael Brown says here, and please do listen. Dr. Michael Brown says pews are not more important than prophecies. They said Jesus was rejected. We want to be respected. He was regarded as radical. We want to be recognized as reasonable. He was accused of having demons. We want to be acclaimed of having degrees. He was put out. We want to be taken in. He put no stock in the praise of men. We thrive in it. Is it any wonder we make so little impact here for Jesus Christ? What he is saying is sometimes in the church, our focus is off. We want to be respected by the world and we want to be accepted by the world. But I'm telling you right now, the Pentecostal movement starting on the day of Pentecost has never been the most popular people in town. It makes people wonder about what we are. I'm not interested in trying to fit in with everybody else. I'm not trying to do it. I'm not interested in trying to dummy down the experience of the Holy Ghost to make somebody on the pew comfortable. I cannot even tell you. I began thinking this afternoon, since I've been here, how many people have left because they did not believe in demonstration. I had one man tell me one time. He said, anytime I hear speaking in tongues, my mama told me to run from that church. And I guess he thought I was going to apologize for that or something. He came in for a season of time. And I thought to myself, because he was telling me these things, and there had been some demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit here in the church, some tongues and interpretations. And he began coming to me and saying that he kind of wished that I would stop those things. I said, two things, my brother, I just want you to understand. Number one, I will not apologize for the Holy Ghost. I will not do it. I said, look, there's two things. I'm not going to apologize for him, and I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to stop it. And then I went on to encourage him, if your mama said run from that church, I love your mama, but mama was wrong. Amen. Mama was wrong. What do you need to do? You need to read your Bibles. And I encouraged that man. I said, get your Bible, find yourself in a closet, lock yourself in with air, lock yourself yourself in that closet. And I challenged him with this. I said, don't eat nothing and say, God, I'm not coming out until I'm convinced about the truth. And of course, he didn't stay very long. He left, was a little disgruntled with me. And I don't know what he told everybody else, and I really could care less. I know what counsel I gave him from the Bible. What are you trying to say, Brother Derek? I'm trying to say this. We are a Pentecostal church. I'm not interested in taking those doctrines out of our bylaws. I'm going to preach it. And if it makes you uncomfortable, good. It should make you uncomfortable. And you say, Brother Derek, you push us. And well, guess what? God's back here pushing me. I've got to push my congregation to live in the fullness of the Spirit. If you don't want to be challenged, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trouble underneath this pastorate right here. If you don't want to be motivated, you're going to struggle right here. Because I am motivated by the very Spirit of God that lives within me. Brothers and sisters, we are worshipers of the one true God. There's some people that care more about Hollywood and athletics and sports and all these things more than they care about being full of the Holy Ghost and use of the Spirit of God. I'm telling you right now, if I never watch another football game, if I never turn on another TV, if I never go on another vacation, if I never become rich and famous in this world, which I know I am not, if I never have any of those things, if I have to drive an old car just getting from point A to point B, but can keep the Holy Ghost, you best believe I'm going to keep the Holy Ghost any day. Why is that? Because sports will cease. Who's famous today will retire tomorrow. Who's not? Beauty fades. Hollywood says they're beautiful. Watch them wrinkle up and die like every other celebrity. But the Holy Ghost is still vibrant. He is still true. We must live in the power of the Holy Ghost. Feel the Holy Ghost here this evening. I care less about notes tonight. Have you received since you believed? Have you? I'm not going to rehash my own experience. What is yours? What is yours? Have you sought for the Holy Ghost as you should? And please quit blaming it on hypocrites. I can't stand when people do that. I don't believe in the Holy Ghost or all that stuff, because I know somebody that said they had it and they didn't act like it. Well, put two and two together, they probably didn't have it. We need the Holy Ghost, church. Now, if you have not been filled, my easy encouragement is this: seek. There's no discouragement in my voice. I'm not here trying to tell you and discourage you or anything. I just want you to seek for the Holy Ghost. And I'm a firm believer, if you seek as you should, you shall be filled. If not, the Bible's a liar. If you've been filled, when's the last time the Holy Ghost has moved on you speaking in other tongues? You say, well, I thought it was initial evidence. Boy, it'll flow out of you again. Oh, yes, it will. Now, once again, I said this is mature Pentecostal subjects. You can think I'm crazy. You can take my word for it. But the Holy Ghost has stayed fresh in my life in the last 11 years. I remember when I initially got filled with the Holy Ghost, I am telling you, it was just miraculous. And I didn't know too much. And look, just in case you're one of those people that believe you have to be completely, instantly, maturely, quoting the King James Version Bible before you can receive the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're talking about. And if you're one of those people that believe once you receive the Holy Ghost, it's instant maturity, you still don't know what you're talking about. You get the Holy Ghost and you still got to grow. You still got to come to Bible study. And so sometimes I've seen this as somebody young and enthusiastic. That's why we tell you, as soon as somebody got saved, as soon as I got saved, I mean, they were on my back, said, son, get filled, clean up and get filled, son. Why is that? Because he realized one thing: the longer you live in this and put it off, the more you feel like you don't need it. I'm doing just fine without the Holy Ghost. Really? You're embracing deception if you think that. You're either content or you're hungry. What are you? Now, I'll never put a burden on anybody that's truly seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll never put a burden on you. I'm patting you on the back, running beside you. Say, come on, seek again. But if you're not seeking, what are you waiting for? And I'm still not condemning you, but I am challenging you here. Maybe I hadn't preached it enough, or maybe you need to go through and pray over each one of the doctrines and the bylaws again, or maybe you need to be refreshed in your conviction. But I'm telling you, the longer you put it off and the longer you think you got it figured out, the longer you'll live without it. Brothers and sisters, seek for the Holy Ghost. We need it. They even thought it. You read throughout the book of Acts. It was an essential part of the leadership in the book of Acts. They didn't even want men waiting tables without it. They thought it was necessary to carry widows' bags of groceries. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You read the Bible, you won't find one place in the New Testament, one place in the book of Acts where somebody says, and if you don't know what this movement is, I'm pretty familiar with it. A.W. Tozer was a part of it. Now John Piper, he's a Calvinist, Reformed, Charismatic. I mean, they've mixed it all together any way that you can mix it. But you know, they come up with this idea right now. Well, you know, that's for somebody over here, but me personally, I don't need it. I heard John Piper say with his own mouth one day, you know, he was praying and said, God, I want to speak in tongues. And God told him, John, no. It's not for you, Johnny boy. It's not for you. Where at the book of Acts? You know, where did Johnny boy come up with that in the book of Acts? I'll never know. Crazy things is, these guys got PhDs and can write books and clever about the atonement and all these different things. You know, John MacArthur, he's another reformed man. He wrote a book, Strange Fire. And all of a sudden, he condemns all these different things about the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you must be careful what you give your ear to. We are a Pentecostal church, unashamedly a Pentecostal church. That's what we believe. And I'm just sharing my heart with you here this evening. And I don't even know where we're going with this message. I hadn't even gotten to point one and may not even get there. But I am telling you this. I am that adamant about protecting this pulpit with the Pentecostal message. If there's going to be a preacher that come through here, you best believe they're going to be a tongue talker. You best believe it. I'm not interested in dummying down this to allow anybody to just come in. I have them call all the time, and I'm all for it. I'm not saying we're the only ones saved and going to heaven, but I will tell you this. As for us in this house, we're going to serve the Lord in Pentecostal expression. I get phone calls all the time and say, you know, Pastor, you've supported this ministry. You know, and look, you may think I'm a little hard here. Well, you can write me off if you like, but please don't notch it. Listen, hear me out. But nevertheless, they say, we would like so-and-so to come by and just to preach to your people. And I thought to myself, I go up there and look at their doctrine on the internet, and I thought to myself, I'd just rather not. I'm just not going there. I'd rather have a man in this pulpit that's red hot and full of the Holy Ghost any day. I'd rather have that any day. Not saying somebody can't share something maybe at some sort of meeting or dinner or something like that. But as for our Sunday services and our Wednesday nights, we won't miss men that believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what I want my children to believe. What ends up happening is we settle for without it. We live without it. Then our children learn to live without it. And I'm telling you, we don't realize how damaging it is to our churches. God has poured His Spirit out upon us. He wants us to understand it's for you. It's for me. Even if the world thinks it's crazy, we need to live in the fullness of the Spirit of God. If you have been full of the Holy Ghost that initial time, let me ask you this. Have you been seeking for the gifts of the Spirit? Have you been using the gifts of the Spirit? You know what happens when there's a generation that doesn't seek for the gifts and you don't see no operation of the gifts? You have a generation that's not using the gifts. And just in case, I'm not saying you are here. God forbid if you are. If you're somebody who said, I don't believe in the gifts, once again, get your Bible out and sit down at a table with me. I'll make you a cup of coffee. I'll make you a cup of coffee, and I'll give you all the money in my bank account, which isn't much, but I'll give it all to you. If you can discredit the gifts of the Spirit, you cannot do it. If you say, well, I'm not comfortable with all that speaking in tongues and all that, you would have been one of those on the day of Pentecost wondering, these folks are plumb crazy. Brothers, you have a choice. You can either get involved with the things of God, and you can either get involved with true Pentecost, or you'll find yourself on the sidelines, speculating, amazed, or mocking, but you must understand He's poured His Spirit out on us. Now hear this out, because I want to just give you some thoughts here. I will walk through a little bit of this with you. We're not going to get over all of it. But notice what He said. I will pour out My Spirit on what? All flesh. Now interesting here, because We see that when he does pour his Spirit out on all flesh, that instantly that means something. There's going to be an effect when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I was just thinking of today, this afternoon, meditating on this. I remember when Brother Ed Sproul, he's not here tonight. I remember when he got filled with the Holy Ghost right over here. He's quiet. You know Brother Eddie's quiet. He's steady Eddie. And he's quiet, he's solid, and he's steady. But I'm telling you, when God moves on him, he'll rejoice. And I watched as he spoke in other tongues. I remember when Sister Juanita and Brother Matthew at youth camp several years ago, I mean, it was one of the most unique experiences I've ever seen in this sense, that I've seen Matthew laying on the floor there. He went through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Sister Juanita was right beside him. And then I watched almost like a fire as it just transferred one to another. And then she went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And my, you know, it's fired her up. We see the Holy Ghost moving on her. And Brother Matthew, not much longer, he feels the call and the tug in his heart to preach. I watched as Brother Neff got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I watched just recently as Brother Ryan Maurer right here. We had a conversation right here. And I remember the Lord was moving. He would probably remember. I said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "I'm a seeker." And no more than we got back to the third pew, another wave of the Spirit came through. And my, he went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a young girl by the name of Leah went through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So just in case you don't think it still happens, it does happen. And I'm glad to know my babies were in the sanctuary. I was here that night in that service. Some of you won't, and I wonder why. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm not angry. I just get frustrated at times. And you want me, and I don't know if you do or not, but I'm just telling you how it feels, or how the devil wants me to feel sometimes. Brother Derek, get up there with 3 points and an illustration and get them out of here. Now, I know you're not putting that on me, but sometimes I don't understand. And what do you want me to be, a traffic cop? Don't do this and do that. I'm not a traffic cop. I came here full of the Holy Ghost, and if I ever leave here, it's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm just trying to get there in my mind. I don't, at times you don't know what to do. I'm just being transparent. And again, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. That's not the point. I'm speaking to you prophetically tonight in this sense, that the Holy Ghost wants you to be filled. And if you don't believe in a prophetic spirit, then I'm beyond, there's been times I've preached at times, and I can't describe it any other than this. It wasn't in my notes, but you just know what you know, and you feel what you feel. It's the Spirit of the Lord moving. You know I'm not some money-hungry preacher. I'm not some off-the-wall guy asking you to do something crazy. I'm not asking you to swing from the chandeliers. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just telling you to seek for the Holy Ghost is what I'm doing. I'm just telling God to move. Let God move in your heart. And you say, "Brother Derek, how do I do it? And when should I do it?" Let me ask you this. If you're seeking for the Holy Ghost and won't even come to prayer meeting, I wonder at times what you're doing. I don't know and understand these things at times. If you're really seeking, you're going to seek. You're going to be a part. You're going to be connected. But I'll tell you what the problem is. You're so connected with your job, and you're so connected with finances, and you're so connected with getting this, and you're so connected with getting that, that you're not really connecting with getting the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with your job, and nothing wrong with having things. But I'm telling you right now, if you really hunger and thirst after the baptism and the Holy Ghost, he's going to lead you to live in a sanctified life. He's going to lead you to staying full of the Spirit. I've never met a man or a woman that went completely worldly and went to the world and gave themselves to the world that maintained a fullness of the Spirit. Every time I get down and pray, every time that God fills me freshly with the Holy Ghost, I don't run closer to the world. I'm going the other direction. Why? Because he knows he's got a work for us to do. I'll tell you what stirs me up is when I went and preached for a little church this week. It's a little pioneer church. And you see a pastor up there that's working two jobs at time. Brother Israel has wore his body out in the last couple of years and has fractured some things in his back, working 100 hours a week, coming out there painting a church. Why is that? Because he understands in West Jefferson, Ohio, right in the middle of a drug city, and just what they do every Saturday, I thought it was commendable. And, you know, you go there to encourage a church, but then you go down there and you get right in the middle of a Pentecostal, red-hot pioneer work, and you watch these men as they're working hard, and they come there every night, and they don't have nothing that we have, brother. brothers and sisters. They would love to have a gymnasium and education building. They don't even have upstairs bathroom in their church. And I watch as a woman with Parkinson's, I mean, it's going down probably 25 or 30 steps just to go to the restroom, but she's willing to come to that church. Why? Because there's a Pentecostal message. But we get content because there's some money in the bank, and we get content because we got facilities. And you hear what I'm saying tonight? God's wanting to send a revival, but it's not going to be on the back of our finances, and it's not going to be on the back of our facilities. It's going to be on the back of men and women that are full of the Holy Ghost. God, take it all if you have to, but give me Pentecost. God, help me, Holy Ghost. I'd rather live from tithing weekend to tithing weekend with no money in the bank, full of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? That's not saying we can't have, because we do, and God has blessed us. And we have been a conduit to bless missions, and that's why God has blessed us. But please, brothers and sisters, I was a part of a pioneer work. And I'm telling you this, and Brother Glenn, Pastor Glenn here, pioneered this work, and some of you are part of that. But let me ask you this. Have some of you gotten over the excitement of those early days? Was there more excitement in those early days when you had less at that time, and you'd be willing, as I have only heard the testimony, women would sell peanut butter eggs to buy equipment and all these things, but yes, the equipment's paid for, and the kitchen appliances are paid for, but God still wants your whole heart engaged in the work. We need Pentecost here in this church. And I witnessed this week as those brothers came there, a man, a pastor that's wearing out his body. But mom, I'm telling you right now, God is moving. God is moving. They, you know, have five services this week. They had a baby shower from somebody there in the church Friday night. Got up Saturday, and they have a Jacob Ladder meth program where they go out in the streets. And then I'm still driving, getting home. I'm wore out, been in church all week. And them men are already out in the streets preaching on the street corners. Why? Because I'm telling you, Pentecost is burning in their spirits. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, we ain't got to wonder where you're going to be. If you're just a faithful Christian in general, we shouldn't have to wonder where you are. Can I go ahead, can I get a little more bold? And I love you, you know it. But church should be a priority in your life. You don't shape your life around everything else and kind of just have that church over there. That kind of comfortable add-on just to make you feel good on Sundays and so you can smile and keep on living the American dream. No, the church should be the center of your life. When I say church, I'm talking about Christ. We're not to be some fellowship of people that we're just all on the fringe of life, and you know, every now and then we just kind of poke in, how you doing, God bless you. Let's hear a little three-point sermon. Look, you can get that anywhere. But you're to me ingrained in this work. You hear me? God help me. I'm trying to preach to you from my heart in this sense. God has poured His Spirit out on us. And this word there, poured out in the Bible, it's the idea of profusion. It's the act of pouring through or over. You find it in the book of Revelation chapter 16, where you see the vials of judgment that are being poured out. Now, those words, vials of judgment, we kind of think of maybe a vial as a little tube or maybe something that's kind of bottlenecked or something. But no, that word vial there actually means a bowl of judgment. And the idea is this, is that when the angels pour out this judgment, it's not just a little drip here and a little drip there. I'm talking about the contents of that bowl is poured out all at one time there in the book of Revelation 16. I mean, it's instant. I mean, a swarm, a waterfall of judgment. That's what it's talking about being poured out. But when you go to the word poured out, the Spirit being poured out, it is the same word. And brothers and sisters, some people enjoy studying the book of Revelation and the outpouring of the judgments, and I do too, but I'm more excited about the Holy Ghost being poured out on believers. Thank God, I know there's going to be futuristic events, but the Spirit is being poured out right now. He's flooded out upon us right now. He should have brought in our hearts right now. He's been poured out on the church. God has not given us a little stream or trickle. He's done turned the bowl upside down, brothers and sisters. You know, I was in the mountains one time hiking. And I came to a waterfall, and I thought to myself, and this is the way my mind works, I'm thinking to myself, look at the power of that waterfall. And I thought to myself,
And look as it pours over that ledge. Look at the force and all these things. And I've never been to Niagara Falls, but many of you have. And you've witnessed what it is to see that, I mean, that rushing falls of that water. I mean, just pouring down anything that would come underneath Niagara Falls. It's instantly submersed in that. That is the idea of the Holy Ghost being poured out upon us. Listen to this. Sometimes we kind of confuse this a little bit, because when we think about being baptized in water, we have the idea of, you know, somebody very kindly and very, very generously kind of saying, look, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's very smooth and, you know, supposed to be smooth. And all of a sudden you come up and there you know, that's being baptized. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's more way. That word baptized there, it's not just talking when we come to the Holy Ghost. It's not talking about just a little small little transaction. No, you know, you can stand underneath the Holy Ghost and you're still being baptized. It's not gentle, but guess what? You're going to be just as wet, if not more wet than it is, than when you've been placed under the water. That's what being baptized in the Holy Ghost is. It's not so much being laid down in the water, but it's standing underneath the Niagara Falls of the Spirit. And as you're standing there, you're being submersed in His Spirit. You're being submersed in His power. And you're there. You've made your heart ready. You've prepared your heart. You've searched your heart. You've gotten your eyes off your neighbor. And you've cleaned up. You've got a pure heart. And you've laid aside things when the Holy Ghost has asked you. You've had to quit jobs if God's asked you. You've deleted accounts if God's asked you. You've gotten rid of TVs if God's asked you. You've gotten rid of some clothing if God's asked you. And you're standing underneath the spout and the Holy Ghost comes out and He drenches you, and there you are submersed. That's being baptized in the Holy Ghost. So that's the problem. Everybody's looking for this little Holy Ghost. Just be, you know, I don't want everybody to know I got it, you know, if you don't mind. That's false humility. You're just prideful. Problem is, you say, well, what if I shout? Well, shout on. Well, you know, what if I get up there and people laying hands on me? I don't know. Get rid of your pride. We believe in laying on of hands. Now, look, I ain't saying, you know, where you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've been surprised where people have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was in a church. I'll never forget it. Somebody looked at me and said, you can have it too. And I'm like, I can't. I've been seeking. And they prayed for me. I ended up getting the Holy Ghost. I was so discouraged seeking, and the Holy Ghost come by and filled me. There's been people filled in their house. I've heard of people getting filled in outhouses. Now, I've only heard about those things, but I've heard about it. What did Brother Carl hear? Something happened to him in an outhouse one time. I don't know if it was sanctified or full of the Holy Ghost, one of them. But no matter where you are, God can fill you. Matter of fact, you know where this started? Do you think this started in mega churches? I had never taken the tour, but, you know, I go to school at Lee University, and even though they've strayed in some forms from some of the path, but there's still some of the professors that are still full of the Spirit. They kind of take you up to the mountains where it all started, you know, away from the university. Get up here where the rattlesnakes are. They'll take you by, you know, they kind of have the areas marked. They'll take you by, old stump over here. That's where Brother So-and-so, he's one of the first men ever be filled. He was praying right there. He was reading his Bible, and he was attending the Methodist church, and they were telling him that it wasn't for today. He came out here to this stump right here with an open Bible to Acts chapter 2, prayed, and God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. He came down here. He didn't have no money. He started a little church, and he built it up. Didn't think it was going to do anything. All of a sudden, people began to come. They were poor. They were dirty. They were coal miners at times in other parts of the country. They didn't understand the great Welsh revival. It blew everybody's mind as you got these coal miners standing there, and all of a sudden, they start crying. And the tears are running just white tracks as it's washing the old soot off their face. That's where it started at, brothers and sisters. Even here in this area, I don't know everything about this area, but I've had some old timers tell me about a thing or two that on the other side of town where nobody wants to live, that's where it started at. Where? There's people that it wasn't full of pride, and those that weren't so religious, their theology had not become their idolatry, but they knew the Spirit of God could fill them. That's what we need once again. The old bull rush meetings, there was nothing but pine trees on top of wooden poles, and the old tent meetings, and that's what we need once again. Have we gotten too sophisticated for the Spirit? Oh, gotta be out. What time is it? We gotta be out by this time. Why? I'm a friend. Look, I don't understand. God does let us. I understand this. I've pastored long enough. There's some services God wants us to hear the word. He wants us to put it in our hearts. He wants us to go live it. I know that. But there's other times. And I understand that when the Spirit is moving in a unique way, we are to stir up our hearts. We are to break up the fallow ground. And we are to let God help us to see a moving of the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. What is the most valuable thing that you can imagine being poured out on you? Imagine somebody had a barrel of $100 bills. And they say, look, we're going to pour this out on you. I wonder how some of you might act. Personally, I'll just say, I'll take the barrel. But yeah, I've never been in a money machine, you know, but I think it's a little silly myself because people act crazy. But they said they'll put you in these money machines and it blows money all around you and you try to grab all money and all this stuff. They said people act like lunatics in the things. Almost pass out hitting their heads on the side of the glass trying to get 30 or 40 bucks. But I'm asking you right now, more than having money poured out on your head, money will disappear. It can't bring you peace and it can't bring you joy. But what about getting underneath where the Spirit is being poured out upon you? Hear me, brothers and sisters, that's what we need once again. We've got to overcome our self-conscious mindsets. The disciples did not care what the people thought of them that day. Some thought they were drunk. Some thought they were crazy. Some were laughing and mocking them. They were under the spout and nothing, something like they have never experienced before. They could not even stay in the room. They were being controlled by the Spirit. The crowd would begin to gather, not just because they looked different or dressed different, which may be part of it at times, but because there was a genuine demonstration of the Spirit in their life. And once again, brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled to think that just because we dress a certain way, that's going to bring them all in. But no, I believe we can dress right. But I'm telling you right now, if we don't have a loving heart and a demonstration of the Spirit, it is all in vain. It is all in vain. I know I've said enough tonight, and I'm not going to stretch this out much longer, but I would encourage you once again, we need to have the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to read you some quotes from Evan Roberts, who was in charge of the Great Welch Revival. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to hear me. Just focus for a minute. The Great Welch Revival, the revival in Wales, South Wales, was unique. Read about it. Read about it. Go home, look it up, read about it. Be encouraged. Evan Robertson, the power of revival in South Wales, this is what he says. It is not of men, but of God. He has been close to us and has showed us the way. Even though there's no question of the creed or the dogma in this movement, we know what we believe, but we have a love for Christ. I've been asked, said Evan Roberts, concerning our methods. And this is what he says. I have none. Oh, I get weary with the mail that I received and the emails from ministries trying to tell me the methods to revival. I mean, you'd be surprised. As if, I wish methods was in a can of paint. I wish, if I knew I could paint this wall a certain color and have revival, we'd paint it. I've watched people try every game and gimmick you can imagine. I've watched them run around with flags. I've watched them drape each other in flags. I've watched people walk around. I'm not making this up. I've been in churches and visiting churches over the years. You thought to myself, man, y'all just need the Bible and a prayer meeting and deliverance. I've watched them walk around with dead old saint scarves. Walking around. Oh God, we want the same Spirit she had. I'm telling you, that's pagan as I've ever seen pagan. I'm not looking for the spirit of an old saint. I ain't Catholic. I'm looking for the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, I was at a church one time and somebody told me about this church and, you know, they're having revival. And I went there and by the time they wrapped this guy up in a flag, I thought to myself, if they come over here with that flag, I'm going to rip it to pieces. I said, they ain't going to wrap me. These bunch of loony ticks ain't going to wrap me up in no flag. Ain't no way. And so they walked past my pew and I thought, well, thank you, Lord. And I got on out of there as soon as I could. And even then, I had to work through a crowd in the back that was trying to speak in tongues and it didn't even sound right. Man, there was no witness of the Spirit to it. And I thought to myself, all right, excuse me, I'm getting out of here. Where's the door? Where's the exit? Get out of there. You got to be careful. There is a false. But here, Evan Roberts said, I have no methods. I never even try to prepare for this. I leave all this up to God. I am not the source of this revival. I am only one agent in what is growing to be a multitude. I'm not moving men's hearts and changing men's lives. Not I, but God worketh in me. He goes on to say, His Spirit came to me one night when upon my knees I asked Him for guidance. And 5 months later I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that is my guidance, is what He is saying. B.H. Clendenin, who led one of the biggest thrust of missions in the Pentecostal movement and the Assemblies of God. A group of Baptist preachers came to him one day and said, "Do you know where to get a steak around here?" He said, "I've been pastoring here 15 years. I can find you a steak." They went out to a restaurant. These men asked B.H. Clendenin and said, "We want to know how you're doing this." And Brother Clendenin, if you ever listen to his sermons, I encourage you, go on the internet and listen to him. He'll put you under conviction. He's not going to enthuse you. He's not going to wow you. He's going to convict you. He told those men, he's sitting there eating that steak. He said, "Well, that's easy." He said, "The Holy Ghost." And the Baptist man stood up and said, "I told you he'd say that. I told you he'd say it." And Clendenin said, "What else do you want me to say? He leads my life. He guides me. And I stay full of the Spirit. That's all it is to it." Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet. Brothers and sisters, tonight I kind of just went off the cuff sharing these things with you. Had a little bit of an outline that I abandoned to share these thoughts. But I have felt the Holy Ghost here tonight. I have felt the Spirit. And you know me, I'm not here. I'm not just trying to work up some frantic or frenzy type thing. What God may do in your heart, maybe all throughout this week, maybe in the coming month and the months ahead, I realize that true revival and true Pentecost is more than just one church service. Do you know I've seen that as a problem in the movement that I came up in? If we get to a certain emotional level in one service, then that guarantees everything's going to be okay. No, it doesn't. We may get to those true Holy Ghost services where emotion and expression of Pentecost is there. And there's rejoicing, and there's shouting, and there's weeping, and there's crying, and there's repenting, and there's people making things right. And there may be somebody might run a church aisle. We might do a Jericho march like we've done before here at this church. But what I'm trying to tell you is this right now. More than that surface, it is your life. It's your Monday, and your Tuesday, and your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, and your Saturday. Pentecost consumes us. You can be full of the Holy Ghost on the job. Hey, look, I'm trying to think how to put this, because I feel like sometimes we can terrify people when we talk about Pentecost. "Brother Derek, does that mean I've got to be a missionary and go die on the mission field?" I didn't say that. But I'll tell you right now, you'll be on your job. You might just have a normal Monday, but all of a sudden you feel the Holy Ghost working in you. "I'm going to talk to somebody." Matter of fact, you may have a week that you don't even really witness to nobody, but you're going through a dark time. And all of a sudden you feel something volcanic just erupt inside of you. And you get down to pray in your personal prayer closet at home and another language is flowing through you. That's what Pentecost is. I wonder right here in this church if all of us, each one of us including myself, me as a pastor, from the deacons to the song leader, musicians, Sunday school teachers, all of us, every faithful member of this church, if all of us were full of the Holy Ghost. If 120 could turn the world upside down, I'm pretty sure 40 or 50 can turn Hampton upside down pretty easy. I'm just thinking that in my own mind. Where does it start? It starts with you and I realizing I need to be full of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2 took place after a 10-day prayer meeting. And please, I don't want any of us to think that just because they prayed 10 days that it meant they had instant revival. If that was the case, I would tell you, take off work. Let's pray 10 days. Ladies, we'll provide some meals and we'll get all this. Let's organize this. If it was just a systematic thing, 10 days, day number 10. You ready? Now, I'm telling you what it was more than 10 days. They tarried until. And that word tarried in the Bible simply means they sat down in the sense that they learned their position. See, that's the problem in some churches. Some folks only know what they're supposed to be doing. Why are you here? What are you doing? Are you a witness? You should be, yes. What I'm saying is, there's things you've got to learn, your role and your position. I realize, I'm putting this on my shoulders. I'm a pastor. I do realize that I should lead and guide into this, and I'm trying, I'm talking to you. But I'm asking you for your help because I'm just one person. All of us have to work together. And I don't feel like I've got it all figured out. Please, though, I don't want you to think that. There's plenty of times of repentance and crying and heart searching in my own life. And I feel like I'm there even tonight. But I will tell you this, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Can we talk to the Lord, each individual that would? Talk to the Lord out of your heart. Some of you that's been here for a long time, and you witnessed what the Holy Ghost has done. You remember what it was to be in that storefront. You remember what it was to put out folding chairs. Some of you ladies remember making peanut butter eggs to buy equipment. God, don't let us get over those days of small beginnings. God, I would you it refresh everybody in this room. Refresh us with a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. With a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. God, send it. Send the Holy Ghost among us. Touch us, God. Oh, we may need to repent, God, of our laziness, oh God, Jesus. Oh, yes. Fresh and anew. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Fill with the Holy Ghost. God, you're raising up young men. God, you're raising up young men. You're raising up brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we need men and women full of the Spirit of God. Help us. Help us. Help us. God, you're not done. You're not done, Lord Jesus. You're not done with us. Abundant Life Tabernacle, God, you're not done with this church. This is just the beginning in the name of Jesus. This is just the beginning in the name of Jesus. It's just the beginning. God, there's things you're doing right here. Things you're doing right here in this church. Rest upon every one of us. God, I ask you for the Sunday school teachers, anoint them. God, I pray for the Wednesday night Bible teachers, God, anoint them. Fill them full of the Holy Ghost. God, let them reap a harvest. Let them see fruit in their ministry. God, I would for the deacons and for the board member at large. God, fill them full of the Holy Ghost. The Sunday school superintendent, God, for the secretary, the assistant, God, the treasurer, all of us, God. For every member, everyone that's on a pew, God, fill us full of the Holy Ghost. Let us be what we need to be in Christ Jesus. You're not done with us, Holy Ghost. You're not done with us, Lord. You're not done with us, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us. Church, I want you to hear me for another second here. I want you to imagine this church in 20 years. I'll be 51 years old. I know in reality that some of you potentially will not be with us any longer. What is your desire for this church? Do you realize we can't wait to 20 years to start working on that? We've got to start now. I thank God for what He's doing. I don't overlook what God is doing. Since I've been here, I counted one day, and I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly. I'm not being irreverent, but over around 10, or if not more, funerals. I'll be honest with you, when that happened, I'm like, whoa! Lord, you know, we're not a big church already, but when we start losing people, my heart fears. But I start seeing as God starts sending people. Right now, as far as men that are called in the ministry, preaching, now we got the elder pastor, myself. God has sent Brother Shane here to be with us. And I appreciate Brother Shane sacrificing and moving and being here. He's raised up Brother Matthew. I appreciate that. When these things happen, I look and say, Lord, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I don't know what God has in store. Right now, I see myself being right here. But God could be taking Matthew right now and putting this in his heart so strong. And it's not beyond God moving me somewhere else. I don't want that. I'm asking for that. I'm fine right here. I can't imagine moving again. Survived the first move. Barely. But I think about these things. What do we want this church to be in 20 years? Who do we want to be deacons in 20 years? You understand what I'm saying? I think about these things. Who knows? I'm just speculating. Who knows, Brother Glenn, if your grandchildren, maybe Shelly's kids, that little boy will grow up and be a preacher one day, and he'll stand right here, and be preaching the same message as great-grandfather. Sorry, keep up my own folks. I want that. I don't know what God has in store. I want my son to be full of the Holy Ghost. But can I challenge you as the elders of the church, the mamas and daddies and grandparents, let them see it in you. Let them see it in you. If you're not a grandparent, and you know, but you're still part of this church, you're family, folks, you're here. We're going to love you and hug your neck and want you to be a part. We want you here. Be an example to the younger. Be an example. But it starts with you. How? Being full of the Spirit, praying. You can, I know, be solid. I mean, I understand there's more than just being full of the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you, that's a great part of it. Be faithful. Love Jesus with all your heart. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful in whatever we do, the ministry, the meetings, the outreaches, do whatever you can. I understand you can't make everything all the time, but I'm telling you this, make church the center of your life. And I believe God's got a church here for the future. I'm thinking about the future. I really am. I'm looking to the future. And I have prayed and said, God, I want you to secure this church. I want you to secure it. And God's going to do it. I believe. Do you believe that? Amen. Will you ask God to do that with me right now? Let's do that one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, God, for this church, God, that everyone, God, we don't want anybody feeling left out. God, we want there to be a church tomorrow. We want there to be a church tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, do it. Do it for us, Holy Ghost. Do it for us, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, I feel the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. Let's sing this song together. Once again, I don't like leading songs because I can't remember the words. Right then, while you're praying, I'm praying. It's the Lord's the name of that song. And I'm praying with you. Revive us again. Revive us again. Amen. Can we sing that together? Starting with the first verse, I think it is. Help us out, Sister Holly.